In the classes, the CLNW classes, we promised you, I think, most of you, that we had a Christian Workers Handbook. Well, we have it here at the school. I believe it's going to be in the book room. And it has about 80 to 90 topics, everything from abortion to worldliness. Lots of good help in here. In most cases, a word from Billy Graham. Lots of scripture that will help you dealing with depression and other problems that people might face or you might help others with. Anxieties. We'll give it to you at our cost, $3. If you buy it in the bookstore, it'll cost you about $9. So go to the bookstore, book room, and buy one of these. We'll have them available later, yes, in the nurture group training class. How many are coming to the nurture group classes later on? That's a good number, too. We'll look forward to seeing you there, too. One other word. How many of you have watched Tom Landry, the coach of the Cowboys, their Cowboy team play football? Let me see your hands. Great. He's coming to Southern California, June 1st. Tom is a terrific, dynamic Christian. You may not think that. You see him walking that sideline with that hat on. He looks so severe and all, but beating under that hat and in that heart of his is a heart for Jesus Christ. And he's coming to speak to the folk in Southern California. We have tickets, too, that are available, and if you'd like to get one before the weekend's over, you can get a ticket to come. We'll have some real evangelism on that morning when he's here. It's Saturday morning, June 1st. Get one of these tickets for the Tom Landy Rally. Okay, now my subject tonight is investing your life in others. And if you attended my Christian Life classes, I think I said in most of the classes I taught that sometimes when I'm flying along in airplanes, I always tell people, I always ask them what they do, and normally they'll ask what I do. And right away, quick, I like to tell them that I work with Billy Graham, and that either opens a conversation or closes it right away, but 9 times out of 10 it opens it. You say, well, what do you do? Well, you've got a few moments, and I usually get out a pad and start drawing things for them and have a good time sharing. But once in a while, I'll say, well, I'm an investment broker. Is that right? Well, what do you deal in? Eternal securities. Is that right? Tell me about it. Well, we can help people get ready for the future. Is that right? Well, all of us tonight can be investment brokers. Can we? Nod your head. Can we? Let's see a good one. That's right. We can all be investment brokers. All of us ought to be touching the lives of others, shouldn't we? Somehow, a little bit at least. Paul said in Thessalonians, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? And when we get up there, we ought to have some other people that are up there because of our lives and our witness and our touching them. And so this weekend has to do really with investing, discipleship, sharing with others. And I hope and pray, and I believe we've made a good investment through this Christian Life classes, but I hope we'll make even a deeper one during these hours together here at Chapman College. Now, I may skip over to the third point here right away. I'm kind of anxious to get to it anyway. But I pray, and I know this. We're going to share with, I'm going to give you 5 verses at the end of the third point here tonight that could radically change your life. Radically. Help you to have more dynamic in your witness. Give you a clearer vision of why we're here. And some know-how of how to help other people. And so I pray that God will use these hours together and that our investment will be a good one. So get out your notebooks and we'll get ready. I'm going to give you a 3-point outline tonight. You may not be able to follow it, but just try anyway, will you? Okay. Now, my subject is investing in the lives of others. And I'll tell you the first point is Roman numeral 1, the principle. The principle of investment. The principle. 2 Timothy 2:2. A lot of you probably have known the verse and you read it and you studied it, maybe even memorized it. The things, Paul speaking to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men and women who shall be able to teach others also. Commit means to make a deposit. Like you're going to the bank to put some money in the bank to get interest on your money. Well, when we commit things to other people, we're making a deposit in their life. We're passing on to them. We're entrusting to them. We're handing over to them. We're sharing with them things that will enrich their lives and that they can entrust and pass on to others. That's what the principle is all about, the 2-2 principle. And about 80% of those who Gene Ward brought here to this weekend are people who have been involved, and maybe all of them involved, in a discipleship 2-2 principle. Sharing their lives with others. These are all laymen. You've got some doctors, lawyers, accountants, cattlemen, just men and women from various walks of life that are here to share with you. And they're the people who have a vision of investing their lives in the lives of others. Now, I was converted at the age of 16 in Olean, New York. How many here from New York State? Did I see your hand? Way good. We've got a few here. And I worked in the Pennsylvania oil fields. Anyone from Pennsylvania? Got a few from the Keystone State. Okay. And I grew up in a Christian home, and in fact, I had a little booklet about called Scriptures from A to Z on the Gospel. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. C, Christ died for the ungodly. I knew all these scriptures. And I had a wonderful Sunday school teacher named Peggy Dudley, a beautiful girl, and I had an eye for beauty when I was 3 years of age. I never missed Sunday school. I got a pin at home, perfect attendance. And I had a good, godly pastor. But you know something? I discovered something. You can know a lot about a person and not know the person. I grew up with all of this Bible truth, much of it in my heart, mind you, without Jesus. And until we had an evangelist come to our town by the name of Dr. John R. Troy, preached the message, and God the Holy Spirit zeroed in on me, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Took me into a prayer room. We had prayers, tears streaming down my face. And I followed the evangelist around to other little communities for about 2 or 3 months. He was one little community after another. Boy, I got other people to go, and I was so anxious to get people saved. If I saw anyone during the invitation changing their weight on their feet, I thought they were under conviction. I'd say, "Can I go forward with you?" I was anxious to get them forward. But then for about 9 years, I drifted. I worked in the oil fields, never missed church, but I'll tell you what I majored in. Roller skating. I'd go roller skating 2 or 3 nights a week, and I could do pretty good on, I could do the waltz and the schottische and the two-step and all the steps on roller skates. I was a bowling man. I set pins while I was in high school earning money to help pay for some of the groceries and things. I could bowl a pretty good game of 10 pins. I was on the ski team. I was captain of the cross-country team. They only had one person on cross-country. That was me, I guess. That's why I was captain. But I was on the cross-country team, ski team, back in the Niagara Frontier. Swimming, I lived in the water in the summertime. I majored on all these things, but I minored on the Bible. I knew nothing about this book. For 9 years, I had nothing to pass on. Now, I could help people roller skate, teach them to bowl, get on skis perhaps, but I had no Bible knowledge or truth to pass on to them. And then something happened. I don't know whether it was my mother's prayer. I like to think it is. One of my older sisters is convinced that mother was always praying for us. A turnaround in my life. And I began to have a heart for the Lord. And the first thing I knew, I went in the Army. In fact, I was stationed right out here in Southern California. Right across the states to California. Los Angeles port of embarkation for 2 years, where I really began to walk with the Lord. I met the navigator organizations, and they put a little booklet in my hand called the B-Rations, scripture verses, memorized them, hid them in my heart. And before I went in the service, my brother gave me a daily guide that had a verse a day, a thought a day, and a prayer for every day. And as I said, I had a hunger, and I began to memorize the scriptures, hide them in my heart. No one told me to do it. I don't know why I did it. Maybe my mother prayed for me. I don't know. First verse was Genesis 28:15, and behold, God speaking to Abraham, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. What a blessing that was for this young man out of New York State, away from home, away from his church. Stand up, I got one or two sleeping. You got too early to sleep. Just get up. Too early to sleep. Come up on your toes a time or two. Maybe we shouldn't have turned the fan off, but I'm going to... Once more now. Okay, you may be seated. Just bear with me a little while here, please. So I started memorizing the verse a day and saying the prayer a day and had a wonderful time learning to walk with God in the army. And met the navigators, and then they just taught me more about scripture memory and about the quiet time, meeting Christ on a regular basis. And to me, I was at lunch with an old nav here today, Bob Glockner, and he reckons that probably the most important thing you can teach a person is scripture memory and the quiet time. Meeting Jesus Christ every day. Learning to walk with him and talk with him and allowing God to speak to us and to impress us with the word every day and then walk with him through the day. Well, they got after me on the quiet time and introduced me to it. Scripture memory and Bible study and application of the Bible. You know, someone has said God gave us his word not only to increase our knowledge but to change our life. Until the word of God is making me a better husband and a better father and a better worker in whatever, it's not doing for me what it ought to be doing. And I'll tell you, God has had a rough time with me, old roughneck from the oil fields and an army sergeant. I could tell people where to go and in a hurry, you know. Rough. And I still have a little rough spots that he's rubbing off, but I thank him tonight for his grace and his mercy. And so they began to zero in on me, the quiet time and scripture memory and Bible study. We met week after week after week. Many times I was the only one in the Bible study. We studied most of the New Testament, mind you, with a study called STS, Search the Scriptures, where we poured into a chapter for about an hour and a half or two. You could almost find the verses without looking at them. Here's the fifth verse. Here's the 19th verse, because you're looking. And some of the verses would come on and stand out like mountains. Well, I thank the Lord for that. And then they taught us the 2-2 principle about sharing our lives with others. Sharing our lives, passing on to others. And so, the 2-2 principle. Second on the outline here, let's put down the precedent. The precedent. And I'll just spend a few minutes on this because I do want to share quite a bit of time on the last part of it. The precedent. And put down A under Roman numeral 2, Jesus. Jesus himself. Jesus the master teacher. And I'm sure if there had been a better way, he would have used it. The God of all wisdom. He would have used it if there were a better way. But Jesus was the one who gave us a wonderful principle called the with him principle. Mark 3:14, if you will. Mark 3:14 and then Mark 6:30. Jesus ordained 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. And Jesus would draw the 12 around him, sometimes 3 or 4 of the 12, sometimes 1 or 2, but Jesus would bring them together and teach them. They watched Christ suffer. They watched him heal. They watched him perform miracles. They watched him go through pray. In Luke 11:1, it said, and it came to pass as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. So they learned from Jesus as they met with him and walked with him day by day. And that is a wonderful principle. You know, you can help a person without saying much to them by getting them under the influence of Bible studies, taking them to a Bible study, getting them where they can hear the message, and getting tapes in their hands and so on with him. Many times while you're together, a little of your life could rub off on their life as Jesus' life rubbed off on his disciples. And so it's a wonderful principle, with him principle. Mark 6:30 tells us, and the disciples gathered themselves together with Jesus and told him all things whatsoever they had done and what they had taught. And they'd get out there in the firing line and put some of the things to work that Jesus had taught them and say, boy, I ran into an obstacle today. And they'd share their lives and pray about it day after day. And then in Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission, Jesus said, now I poured my life into your life. I've shared with you my life, my vision, my way. Now you go and share it with others. Go disciple all nations. Go, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have spoken to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. And so Jesus sent them out. And you know something tonight, friend, that every one of us here tonight can trace our spiritual lineage, back to one of the disciples. Do you agree with that tonight? Let's see you now. Do you? Yes, I'd like to know who I'd go back. Gene, who are you going back to? Peter? John? Andrew? Maybe? But they were faithful. And we ought to be faithful. We have the same commission to go and share and disciple. Share our lives. Get people going in the Lord and growing in the Lord and sharing in the Lord. Be under Roman numeral 2. Paul, he was the great teacher on sharing. Paul was a real people's person. You take Romans 16 to look at it sometime and list the names of the people that he knew intimately. There are 30 or more of them. Stayed in their home, had a Bible study in their home. He shared with them. Paul was one who was a real people's person. Let me give you a verse on Paul's traveling Bible Institute. Acts 20, verse 4. And you may be able to get a Bible Institute of your own. It's called the Traveling Bible Institute. It says here they accompanied Paul into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Here are men from various countries. They were part of Paul's entourage. They too watched Paul get stoned. They too saw him in prison. They saw him under adverse circumstances, living for Jesus Christ, and learned greatly from this man. Paul followed up four ways. Let me give it to you briefly, and then I want to get to the last point. Paul followed up four ways. Number one, by letter. And most of the New Testament are letters from Paul to individuals, to churches. And that's a wonderful way to keep in touch with people, to encourage them. For many years, in fact, Gene Warren, a lot of our fellows, Wayne Watts, and some of the fellows we've been praying for each other for 29 years, it was by letter. I'd scribble, I don't know if Gene could read it or not, but we wrote to each other and shared with each other letters. My wife, she puts me to shame. She's in touch with people everywhere we go. She gets acquainted with people and encourages them and has a ministry in their lives, and she writes beautiful letters. She's got one girl, was a Mormon girl up in Anchorage, Alaska. We spent hours with the girl. She was our maid. I don't know how many times we've had letters from this girl. Got a big Bible we gave her. She lives in Samoa, and she recently went back to Samoa. Someone up in Edmonton. Women everywhere. Wherever we go, my wife gets to know people and shares with them. A wonderful way. She encourages them. She sends books to them and tapes to them and helps them in their Christian life through letters. Secondly, personal visits. In Acts 13:1-2, you find where the church was meeting together in Antioch, and they thought they got a vision of sending someone out to evangelize. And so after they prayed and fasted, they sent Paul and Barnabas out to the mission field. And on that trip, Paul was stoned and left for dead. And they traveled through many cities and countries, came back to Antioch, and then in Acts 15:36, mind you, Paul said, let us go again to every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, see how they're getting along. And so Paul went back and suffered a great deal more, was thrown in prison, he was beaten. He went back because he cared about people. In fact, I think his heart is found in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He says, we were willing not only to give the gospel unto you, but also our own lives because you were dear unto us. Not only the gospel, but our lives. Share our lives with you because you're dear unto us. And so, Acts 15:36, he said, let's go back again. They came back to Antioch and he spent a little time there. And then he went over in Acts 18:23, his third trip. He said, let us go again to all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And if you read the book of Acts, and I encourage you to do it sometime in the next few weeks, find out he spent 6 months here, a year there, a long time, 3 years in Ephesus, warning the elders there night and day with tears. And so Paul had a tremendous desire to impart and to share and to pass on. And I'm glad tonight, aren't you? Because we're recipients of that vision that he had. And then Paul sent representatives, thirdly. Sent representatives when he couldn't go himself. Colossians 4:7, Paul says, Tychicus shall declare all my state unto you. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. He will come to comfort your heart. I like that. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul said, when I couldn't stand it any longer, he wanted to get to Thessalonica, he said, I sent Timotheus to strengthen you and to comfort you in all of your sorrow. Titus 1:5, for this cause did I leave you on the Isle of Crete, he told Titus, that you might set in order the church and ordain elders and so on. And so when Paul couldn't go, he sent representatives to share and to comfort and to build. And then lastly, prayer. Paul prayed. 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And you read his prayers in Colossians and Philippians and Ephesians, beautiful prayers. Paul praying for them. I want you to put down one of them, part of one of them, in Ephesians 3:19. This has been a blessing to me through the years. He said, that you might know the love of God that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Say it with me. Filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that your desire tonight? To be filled with God? It ought to be. Now, point number three, the practice. And I'm through. Practice. And I want you to stand up. Boy, it's getting warm in here. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't have turned that. But stand up and stretch. The practice. How many of you are a little warm now? Can I see your hands? We're a little warm now. I think we better put the fan back on, Virgil. 29 years ago, we were in Oklahoma City. And we started a prayer fellowship. Gene Warr, Wayne Watts back here. There were 10 of us to begin with, and 2 have gone home to be with the Lord. There are 8 of us now, and 5 of the 8 are here, Gene. If we had the other 3, we could have a conference here with our prayer fellowship. We've been praying for each other 29 years. And I could take the rest of the night to tell you what's happening, really. One of our prayer partners was a rodeo rider. He was a paratrooper. He was a cowboy. He started with a church of 50 down in Baton Rouge, and now his church is about 1,500. Great disciple of men, Don Tabb. Wayne Watts, sitting back here, be sharing with us and be the Institute. Wayne is an oil gas producer from Texas. Charlie Featherston back here is real estate. And I don't know how many Wendy's he owns. Where's Charlie? Back here somewhere. Harold Warren is up at the Glendale, I believe, isn't he? He's with Dow Chemical. And and Gene, of course. Gene is the prime mover of all of us. And as I said, as David said earlier, I don't know anyone in the world that's touching more men than this man is. God has given him a tremendous vision for discipling. He has contacts in Hong Kong that are getting into China with materials. He has work going on all over New Zealand and Australia. He brings students from Africa and trains them here and sends them back again. Tremendous vision. One of the largest tape libraries in the world. His tapes are going out all the time. I believe they gave them to the University of Oklahoma, didn't you, Gene, or to the work down there, is that right? Baptist student work down. But always thinking about how he can touch lives. So we started a prayer fellowship 29 years ago, and oh, how God has blessed. And I'm going to give you the five verses that we began to pray for each other. And what I'd like you to do, friends, is this. Write it across your paper, put down vision. Put vision. Vision. Dash, burden, dash, reality. And this is the challenge that I'm going to leave with you now in the next 5 or 6 minutes here. I would like to challenge all of you tonight to take these five verses, write them out on cards, carry them with you, start your day with them every day for a month. It won't take you long, mind you. Pray that you'll get a vision, that your vision will become a burden, and then your burden will become a reality, and you'll be reaching out and touching lives by your life. Okay? First verse, Psalm 12, verse 1. Psalm 12, 1. The psalmist said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." That'll give us a little more relief anyway, won't it? "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." The Living Bible says, "Lord, help! Godly men are fast disappearing. Where in all the world can I find a faithful person?" Would you like to stand up in your heart of hearts tonight and say, "Here's one, Lord. I'll be a godly man or woman. I'll be a faithful man." That's what he's looking for tonight. Godly people. So put one word after Psalm 12:1. Put godly. Pray that God will make you a godly man or a godly woman. Do you know anything more important to your testimony than being a woman of God or a man of God? Do you? Christ magnified in your life. Godly. Secondly, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and put one word after it. Put equipped. Equipped, like equipment. Equipped. The scripture says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be mature, fully furnished unto every good work. This book right here will make you and me perfectly, completely equipped, ready to do God's work if we give God an opportunity through the book. Doctrine. We'll learn the doctrines of salvation, redemption, resurrection, and baptism, and sanctification. There would be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we'll be steadfast in what we believe. We ought to commit ourselves, friends, to this book, getting into it regularly, studying it, memorizing it, letting it be a part of our life, applying it to every phase of our life. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and boy, I'll tell you, I've one who's needed a lot of reproving from the Lord. How about you? Are you a bunch of saints here tonight, or do you stand a little reproving once in a while? And correction. You do get on the wrong road sometime, and we get in a book, and he'll straighten us out. And then instruction in righteousness. Let's commit ourselves in the days ahead to be men and women of the book and get other people in the book. Teach them the Bible study. We're having nurture group training before long. What an opportunity of learning to share your life leading a few others in a Bible study program. And so, equipped with the book. Godly equipped. Thirdly, Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, and put down the word Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Say it with me. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Controlled by the Spirit. Under the control of the Spirit. Under the influence of the Spirit. In my mind, I don't know anything more important than allowing the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in my life every day. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, you're going to see an old bear along the pathway here and along these rooms. The old oil field rusted about mean as can be. But the Holy Spirit can take over this old roughneck and make a gentleman out of him. I like 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit can take you and me and shape our lives through the Word, because the Word is the sword of the Spirit and make us the models that we ought to be, that we need to be if we're going to share Jesus Christ by life with others. Fourthly, Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. And put down witnessing. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Not you ought to be, but you will be. You shall be my witnesses. And when the Holy Spirit's in control of my life, when I'm living in this book, and the book is shaping my life, the Holy Spirit gives me a dynamic, a boldness to share Jesus with others. I'm embarrassed. And so we need to be godly, equipped, Spirit-filled, witnessing, and finally, 2 Timothy 2:2. We're back to that principle again of reproduction. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Put down the word reproducers. Reproducers. Godly, equipped, Spirit-filled, witnessing, reproducers. Say it with me. Godly, equipped, Spirit-filled, witnessing, reproducers. Let those be spiritual muscles for us in the day. I do push-ups every day to keep a little muscle tone. Let these scriptures be spiritual muscles for you in the days ahead. Pray them in and live them out and let them shape your life to where you'll have something to share with others. Now, put this statement down and then we'll close. Put this statement down and we'll close. I am responsible for the depth of my ministry. I am responsible for the depth of my ministry. God is responsible for the breadth of my ministry. How wide it is up to God. How deep it is up to me. I am responsible for the depth of my ministry, but God is responsible for the breadth of my ministry. If all I can do is teach roller skating and skiing and bowling and swimming, I'm not going to teach people many spiritual principles. You get the picture? Nod your head, do you? You get the picture? You've got to have something to share with them. So let's really get down to business, if we're not, for Jesus Christ, and build some of these principles into our life that we'll begin to show and that we'll have to share with others. And friends, I don't know of a better time than with Billy Graham Crusade coming up. How many of you have an Operation Andrew card? Let me see your hands. Way up. That's most of you. If you don't get one, you're praying for 7 contacting them to build bridges, inviting them to the meeting, standing with them if they make a commitment, then staying with them until they're growing in Jesus Christ. What an opportunity for all of us to really take discipleship seriously and begin to nurture people and grow. And then get into Bible studies. Teach a nurture group. Help the people get established in church, Sunday school, growing in the Lord. And multiply your ministry. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have of being here tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'll take these tired bodies, and I know that they've had a hard week, and I pray, Lord, some of this will get through, that you'll find us, Father, longing to be deeper, more committed in our spiritual life and walk. And I pray, Father, that these five verses, taken seriously, will become a part of our lives and practice, Lord, and will result in a much more fulfilling and productive life. In Jesus' name, amen.